Welcome to the Weekly Beat by Mansa with your hosts Arnold Segawa, Maggie Mutesi, and Dumi Jere, giving you all the info on Africa's big finance and economic stories. The Weekly Beat by Mansa.
Greetings and welcome to this edition of Mansa's The Weekly Beat. I'm Arnold Segawa, coming to you from Johannesburg. Dumi Jere and Maggie Mutesi, as always, my co-hosts, Maggie in Nairobi, I presume, and Dumi Jere in Johannesburg, too. Maggie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful, chilly morning in Nairobi, and, you know, we're just hoping for the best.
Amen to that. Dumi, how's your day coming?
Day's all right. Chilly morning as well in Joburg, but yeah, looking forward to a new week.
And a week it has been, I have to add. Just last weekend, Sea Secretary General Ace Magashule, that's of course the African National Congress here in South Africa, was suspended by President Cyril Ramaphosa. Now, Magashule has come out guns blazing, responding to the party after he was served with his suspension letter. To actually step aside, in the letter he does state that he is suspending Cyril Ramaphosa under a resolution adopted by the 54th Elective Conference. It is quite confusing. Now, Ace Magashule is a Secretary General. As you might know, the President of the African National Congress, the ANC, is Cyril Ramaphosa. I think you need to first listen to this clip of the Secretary General, Ace Magashule, defending himself.
Nothing is going on with me. I'm still a Secretary General. I've suspended, as the NEC, we have suspended Cyril.
What does that mean when you say the NEC has suspended the president of the ANC? What has he done to deserve a suspension from you?
Allegations, though we have allegations, those who are charged, those who are reported to have been involved.
And what about your suspension? We understood earlier
today. I have appealed.
Sorry?
I have appealed to Cyril.
So because you have appealed, you remain Secretary General of the ANC?
I'm Secretary General of the ANC. I was elected by conference. You can quote me verbatim.
I'm not going to just quote you verbatim. I've got you. So you've now suspended Cyril Ramaphosa based on allegations. Ace, can I ask you very quickly, what does this mean for the ANC at the moment? We are speaking as journalists, and people are saying that you're driving the party.
I'm not going. I was elected by conference.
You're not going to resign. You're not going anywhere.
No, I'm not. I've appealed, and I will call a press conference.
You remain the Secretary General of the ANC.
As elected by NASREC delegates.
What happens to your conscience on step aside? They say
there's no conscience. Yeah, what happened to the conscience of everybody on the resolution of the ANC National Highest Decision-Making Body, the National Conference?
They say stepping aside is about putting...
Why don't you read Fighting Crime and Corruption? Why don't you read those 10 points?
What do you think your comrades are taking? Okay. What do you think is happening? Why do you think your comrades are coming after you?
Yeah, because they are using state organs. And they have been using state organs, and we have been quiet. And we know this. And we know what they are cooking. This is not the last case. We know what they are cooking.
Who?
We know what they are cooking against Supra. We know that they are cooking against Bo. We know what they are cooking against Lindiwe Sisulu. We know what they are cooking against some of the ministers.
And just to clarify, the letter that was sent out, that's circulating, that letter is not a fake. That letter is from you.
That is not fake. That letter, I've just told Pule Mabe now, that letter is not fake. The letter was delivered.
Immediately
after the NEC, the letter was long prepared and delivered to DSG, Jesse, and President's house.
When was it delivered?
The letter was long prepared on the 3rd.
Right. That particular clip there is courtesy of Eyewitness News here in South Africa. He was responding to them just a few days ago, last week on the 6th of May. Dumi, what do you make of this? I think calling it confusing is an understatement.
You're right. Earlier on, I think just before we started recording, Maggie was referring it to as South Africa's version of Game of Thrones. And I think that's possibly the best way to describe it. Ace Magashule is, no doubt, as Secretary General, it's a very powerful position. You can understand why he would not want to let go of that. He's facing allegations of abuse of office and corruption when he was still the premier of the province of Free State in South Africa. He's the one who was running that whole province. And there was an issue around an asbestos tender. Almost 200 million was, stolen. And he's facing allegations of that, among many others. Now, the wheels of justice usually turn very slow. So Ace is of the idea that if he adheres to what the African National Congress resolution to step aside if you are facing corruption charges, if he adheres to that, then he may not be in the ANC for a very long time. He will be stepping aside for years, and who knows how many years it's going to take for them to finalize this case. I mean, Jacob Zuma has been in and out of court for the past 9 years now, if not more. So that's what he's thinking. And on the other side, the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, seems to have strengthened his grip on the African National Congress with this particular move. So, yeah, we'll see how this week progresses.
Maggie, the Kenyan example is always one that's quite interesting. You know, we've seen that the likes of Sonko in Kenya accused. If you don't know who Sonko is, he's a very colorful politician. He's one of those who shows up with
the
governor. You could mistake him for one of those gentlemen of the night who wear very, very colorful suits. But what do you make of this particular move where, on one hand, the president of a party is saying one thing, that the Secretary General actually retaliates in such a manner that is quite candid?
Giving Nairobi's example, I think we can't relate both Arnold, but nevertheless, some of these big economies, the biggest threat they face is corruption, which always trickles down to investments in the countries themselves. And from what I've been reading, the ANC resolved that if an official faces criminal charges, they should quit their posts. So it was bound to happen, like Dumi has mentioned, the kind of money that has gone missing. But I would love to look at it in another way. I mean, you have elections coming very soon in South Africa. Even here in Nairobi, we have elections next year. And like any other president, you really want to communicate to the world that you're taking action towards corrupt officials. There is a bit of accountability. And again, no one wants to put their money in a country where there is a bit of uncertainty. I haven't followed the case that much, but I would think it's a big and great move by Ramaphosa. That's how I would look at it.
Dumi, if we're to look at this more critically, is Ace being used as an example? We have the Big Six and the ANC, and for the longest time, some have argued that this is someone who's being used as a scapegoat to just make an example for everyone else. Let's face it, there's been a few members of the ANC who are accused of wrongdoing here and there, and corruption charges might be levied against them, but we're yet to see suspensions bite this hard. Is this an example, and Cyril actually making a stand?
It could be. The ANC did what they call internal polls, where they ask members of the ruling party what issues are ranking highly on the list of the voter concerns. And corruption is something that came out top. You know, usually the people in the, call it in the trenches or in the areas where the voters are, they would usually say maybe unemployment or inequality or lack of housing or many of other things. But their current polls show that corruption is ranking highly. So since President Cyril Ramaphosa came to power on the backdrop of rooting out corruption, he sort of now has to be seen to be doing something. But at the same time, this was a resolution that was put the last elections of the ruling party, that if you are facing something, you need to step aside. So it seems now that they are now enforcing that more rigorously ahead of these elections that are coming up in October. So forcing Makhashule out, I mean, to step aside, would actually go some way to proving that the ruling party is serious about tackling the scourge of corruption. So I think that's one way to look at it.
Rigor, without a doubt, is something that we might be hearing a whole lot this year. The NEC meeting, Ace was actually kicked out over the weekend, which is, well, just goes a long way to show how serious these matters are. Let's talk about the investment side of things. Corruption, definitely huge. Civil service, some of the things that the big three rating agencies have mentioned in the past when it comes to South Africa. Let me start with you, Maggie. Dumi will come in after. Do you see this actually having some reprieve of sorts when it comes to the credit rating that is, if I'm not mistaken, Moody's is due in November for South Africa?
Definitely, I think so. We've seen Zuma's case and his corruption scandal going on for ages, but this had an impact on South Africa in terms of investments. I would think so. So definitely, I would think it would give a lot of confidence to investors, to the business community. But again, South Africa is one of those countries that actually have, I don't want to say a lot of corruption, but I would put them like Kenya.
No, you can say it. It's got a lot of corruption.
Yeah, it's got a lot of corruption. So this is a move of confidence. It could be reopening new ways of looking at a country with high corruption.
There's also what they call the Zondo Commission. And this is a commission that was established to look into a state capture, essentially how much corruption has been going on, how much the state-owned entities were captured by individuals and corruption and looting and all sorts of things. This thing has been going on since, I think, 2019, if I'm not mistaken. When you listen to revelations that come out of there, you realize that over 500 billion has been stolen from various entities. You look at the various state-owned entities like Eskom, which is the national electricity provider, or the broadcasting corporation, SABC, or the airline, SAA. Billions and billions keep on getting pumped into institutions that not profitable, whose going concern is very questionable. And all of this, with good governance and good structures in place, these companies could actually be thriving. But because there's this scourge of corruption, all of these companies are struggling. And at the end of the day, this then impacts the investment ratings that the country gets. So I doubt that this would do a lot to influence the investor ratings from Moody's and Fitch and all of those guys. But it will do some good. Not sure how much good it will be, but it will do some good. A good example is that currently the Rand is trading at its strongest point in 16 months. Obviously, this is not only as a result of the Ace Magashule news, but also booming commodity prices and all those things. But it's a step in the right direction, I guess.
To start with, I think it was a good initiative. The whole move of stepping aside, if you are an ANC or official and there's accusations against you, obviously there would be conflict. Let's face it, a Secretary General of the ANC is a very, very strong man. And them staying in their position at the same time when they're being investigated kind of defeats the whole purpose. And bringing in the Uganda aspect, where do I start? I think I know less than three people who have been brought to the sword when it comes to corruption allegations in Uganda. You know, there's a director of public prosecution's office that is simply just collecting dust in terms of files in cupboards, not forgetting the Inspector General of Government, the IGG, all these reports that keep on getting brought forth, and there's just hardly any action. So again, maybe the other aspect that we need to respect here is the haste in having some of these cases actually dealt with and prosecutions happen in a timely manner. Of course, the rightful prosecutions, not just having extrajudicial and kangaroo courts of sorts. So Uganda, South Africa, I think would be comparing berries and jackfruit here. One has a sort of an outlay for what prosecution might look like, and the other, well, let's just say it's just non-existent.
All right.
Jackfruit and berries. Okay.
Yes. But guys, as always, many thanks for making time to just share your thoughts on this particular episode. As always, to all our listeners, wherever you are joining us from, if you missed anything in the course of the week or the month or the day, just visit the website mansamedia.africa. On Twitter, we're at @Mansa_media. Arnold Segawa Dumijere and Joburg, and of course, Maggie Mutasi joining us from Nairobi, Kenya. As always, thanks for listening.
The Weekly Beat by Mansa, with your hosts Arnold Segawa, Maggie Mutesi, and Dumi Jerry, giving you all the info on Africa's big finance and economic stories. The Weekly Beat by Mansa.